This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Dallin Cuff will join us in about a half an hour, talk some hoops. But it's a big baseball weekend. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening. We talked a lot of hoops today.
Yeah.
But it's a big ACC baseball weekend. And let's bring on truly one of the great experts of college baseball. This guy is all over it. Was a tremendous player. Knows what's going on. Kyle Peterson joins us. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm well. How are you?
We are good. And here we are 2 weeks into the college baseball season. There are all kinds of big-time expectations for a number of ACC teams. I know it's early, but if I just throw a blanket statement on you by saying, all right, what have you seen from the ACC that you like so far? What would you lead with?
Wow. I mean, you get a preseason number one team at Louisville. You got Miami, who was number one for a few days. So obviously top-level talent is there. And to me, some really cool stories throughout. Duke's thrown a perfect game already. Florida State's got a new head coach whose father happens to be the all-time winningest coach in the game. I think it's a lot of different things. But there's top-end talent and there's depth. I think there's as much depth in the ACC top to bottom probably as we've ever seen in this conference.
Kyle, I was asked this question over the weekend by someone, and we were referring to the Miami-Florida series, which, of course, the Gators ended up sweeping. I was asked about the midweek stuff compared to the weekend stuff early in the year. If you're somebody like Geno DeMari or you're Danny Hall or you're Dan McDonald, the midweek games, I know they're important because you got younger kids, you're trying to get integrated into college baseball, find out maybe where their role is from a pitching standpoint. But the weekend series, and we're seeing some real thunder come down the line now. That one last weekend, Tech Georgia's this weekend. Mentioned the other one, Clemson, South Carolina's this weekend. Is the weekend series starting to take more of a principle to some of these coaches in this league?
Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the season is built on a weekend series, especially when you get into the conference. The only thing is a non-weekend series in the conference is when you get to the conference tournament. And obviously the postseason set up a little bit different, but still, those that generally are going to contribute the most when you get to the end of the year are your three weekend starters, your main bullpen guys on the weekend. However, midweek you can build depth, and midweek you can build your RPI, and vice versa. I mean, midweek you can kill your RPI, depending on who you're playing sometimes. So there's value to those midweek games because you can get some guys in there that maybe you're not quite comfortable enough putting in front of the lights on the weekend. But ultimately, there's going to be injuries. We've seen it with Louisville already. We've seen it with Miami already. To where some of the experience that these kids will get in midweek games can be really beneficial when you get to the end of the year, and you're going to need them at big spots.
You know, you mentioned all the teams in terms of the quality depth, Kyle. One team that's still sitting here with a zero in the loss column, in fact, the only team in the ACC, is NC State. And, you know, Elliott's had some really good teams in the past. They've gotten off to a quick start. Where would you put NC State in the pecking order of the six, seven, or eight teams that could be consistently ranked all season?
I don't know yet. And I think some of this is because the leading up to the conference season sometimes can be misleading, or it could be something that really kind of tells what the future program is going to be. The one thing with Elliott that you've got historic, he's got one of the best catchers in the country. And Andrew Bailey is probably going to be a middle of the pack first round guy. But when you start with that, I mean, if your middle is solid, but for me, it starts behind the plate. If you got a guy behind the plate, they can run a game like Bailey does offensively. He's a game changer. Then you can build so many different things off of it. He's been around the program for a few years. And I think you just start with that. And then just historically, I know that NC State hasn't been in Omaha a whole lot, but they've been a mainstay in the postseason, and LA obviously knows his way around that time of year. So I think telltale is probably 5 weeks from now, when there's been a few weeks in conference and we know exactly what guys look like on the weekend against others within the conference. But NC State has to be in the discussion now.
Kyle, you got to like it. We were touching on this a second ago and these individual teams. This Clemson, South Carolina, Tech, Georgia last weekend, you know, Miami, Florida, Georgia Tech, Ohio State, this ACC Big Ten thing. That was kind of a nice thing to have early in the year, too, to get a measurement, right? It looks like baseball coaches are kind of taking pages from football coaches and kind of scheduling upgrades a little bit in their non-conference.
Yeah, I think it's a balance, you know. You want to play some of those non-conference. I mean, Clemson, South Carolina play every year. Georgia Tech play every year, which is, to me, it's great for the sport. Miami and Florida State play, or Miami and Florida play every year. Well, Florida State and Florida play every year. So those, I think the big just natural rivalry series, be it whatever sport, is good for them to play preseason. But the other is you also got to have the weekends that you probably ought to sweep somebody. Because, I mean, just from a play at home, get comfortable at home. But you also want your club going into conference feeling pretty good about themselves if you can. So I think a balance is ideal. If you go out and, you know, you've got three or four premier programs on the weekend to start, and then you go into the ACC, especially with the depth this year, it'll test you, and that could be seen as a positive. But if you don't have the right type of club that has a bunch of, oh, everybody knows where they're going to be before the postseason, and you've got bullpen figured out, it's hard to have too tough of an early season conference slate. And I think most of these guys are doing a really good job of balancing it out. I love this weekend. Georgia Tech is going to be cool because Georgia Tech thumped Ohio State and was right there last year. They're a national seed. Auburn kind of rips their heart out when Stephen Williams hits a home run. Yeah. And it looks like Georgia Tech's going to go on to the Supers. But Danny's got them in a really good spot right now, and they'll be ready for Georgia.
You know, you mentioned some of these early series. You know, Louisville, who, again, in this league, everybody thinks is the team to beat. They open up the series at Ole Miss, a great venue and another terrific program. Those series only get you better as the season goes on. You know, another series this weekend, Kyle, is Florida State and Texas Tech. And for folks that aren't necessarily baseball aficionados, Texas Tech's program has been out of sight, and the job that's been going on down there in Lubbock's out, I mean, just tremendous. And it is going to be kind of cool to watch Florida State with this transition from Martin to Martin. And I know that's a Saturday-Sunday game, but it's worthy of keeping an eye on that whole series. It's going to be out of sight.
Oh, it totally is. And Tech is, if you just look at the last 6 years, 7 years in college baseball, Texas Tech is top five with anybody in the country that time frame. They've been to Omaha three of the last 5 or 6 years. The years that they haven't been to Omaha, they've been right at the top of the Big 12. Tim Tadlock's got a power program, and I think it gets overlooked a little bit because it's in Lubbock and they're not on TV as much. But, man, they year in and year out, especially in that ballpark, they're really going to hit. In fact, I mean, their ballpark can play a lot like Florida State's can, to where it can play small at times and they can take advantage of it offensively. But, yeah, that's another one. I think Florida State's still trying to figure some things out offensively. They're going to be doing that all year. But when you've got C.J. Van Eyck on the weekend, who is as good as anybody in the country when he's right, if he's healthy, he's a lock middle-of-the-first-round guy, that's a pretty good place to start on the mound.
Kyle, you mentioned Mike Martin Jr., and I don't know that any of us I think he's got several benefits and several positives. We had him on not long after he was named the head coach, and he said, you know, there are a couple things we're going to change moving forward and that kind of deal, and I don't know that any of us know exactly how the shoes feel, if you know what I mean.
I'm not sure that he does yet, you know. Yeah. I mean, they lose the first game of the season, which who cares? I mean, it's one game out of 56. But since then, Florida State's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that's interesting, and I haven't looked at every box, so I don't know how often he's playing, but he's got his son playing for him now. And so you've got the same thing, obviously, that he played for his dad, and his son graduated early from high school. The plan was for Tyler to come in next year and play his freshman year. And I was talking to him in the preseason. He's like, we need a little bit more defensive help. And I know Tyler can pick it up and throw it to first. We'll see if the bat's ready. But so you throw that into the equation.
Right.
I mean, you've got, you know, dad's the all-time winningest coach. You played here. You played for him. Now you get your kid playing for you right away. but Meat's been around it. He knows the situation. The other thing, he's run that offense for a long time. I mean, Meat wasn't looking to the dugout very often when they had things going on offensively. So I think from that standpoint, it's status quo and rolls the way that it has. I'm sure he'll change a few things, but there wasn't a whole lot broke when he walked into it. And I know he knows that.
Kyle, I want to ask you about another team in the ACC. And it's always interesting to watch programs develop through the postseason and get better year in and out. You mentioned Texas Tech and the job Tadlock's done down in Lubbock. I feel the same way about Duke. And I know Bryce Jarvis just threw a perfect game, and we had him on the show earlier this week. But you almost get the sense of what Duke's been able to accomplish in the postseason and what they did last year. I know Vanderbilt got him, but Vanderbilt eventually got everybody. You just get a sense that they're kind of building and building and building. It might be one of those teams that really breaks through this year and surprises a lot of folks. We know they're good, but they could be really good.
I totally agree. We had our baseball meetings the last few days in Charlotte, and that was one of the things that we were talking about. They're a game away from Omaha the last 2 years. And last year, you know, it took Kumar coming in, striking out 17 or whatever it was in the second game and throwing a no-hitter to totally change that series. Here's what I think is so crazy about Duke. I mean, they're postseason 3 of the last 4 years. They've been to Supers the last 2 years. Before that, they hadn't been in the postseason since 1961. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget like a game away from Omaha. They had not been to the NCAA tournament since 1961 until Chris took them in 16. Now they've been 3 of the last 4 years. It feels like it could be, I mean, and this is high cotton, but it's set up the way that Vanderbilt was 15 years ago. It's set up the way that Rice was 25 or 30 years ago when Wayne got there.
Yeah.
To where you're surrounded by everything you would want to be surrounded to. And now you've got a coach that can really recruit. It seems like the administration's getting on board potentially for a facility, which they need badly. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you can sell the university and you can sell the conference all day long. Area of the country. I mean, you just go on and on and on about the things that you could sell. So I love the upside of Duke, and I'm with you. I think Duke is one of those teams. There's three or four of them that you look at across the country that I would be very surprised if they're not in Omaha sometime in the next 5 or 6 years.
Kyle, does it intrigue you about the job that Chris Pollard has done? And he's had some very talented guys, but they're doing it with the unique playing arrangement. Most of the games at the AAA park, which I think is actually worked to their benefit in a unique way. But do you feel like he's had the transformative recruiting class, or has it just been piece to piece? And Kevin White, the athletic director, probably deserves a ton of credit for being patient with the development of that program.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. There's been some teams historically that have had to play in different places just because of facilities or upgrades that are going on. You know, years ago, North Carolina had to do it when they were redoing Boschmer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a few things. You got to have dudes at some point. I mean, you can't just Jedi mind trick your way to the Supers 2 years in a row. So any coach in the country can do whatever they want, but you still got to have enough dudes. And he's got them now. And then Jarvis, he's got a guy that is starting, and it's not just because of the perfect game, but his stuff has ticked up this year. You got a real guy that can match up with anybody on the weekend. And I think the other thing when you get into a situation like that is it's going to take some time to build depth. You may be able to go out and get a few of them, but it's going to take time to build depth. It takes time to build a program. You can do it in a year. But when you've gone to postseason 3 of the last 4 years and you've gone to Supers 2 years in a row, that's when you're building a program. That's when you can start to sell things and you're not selling the future about, hey, man, imagine what this can be. You're selling the immediate past as, hey, man, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. And you want to be a part of whatever the next step is. So I think there's a variety of things that Chris can sell right now at Duke, but I am buying Duke. It's funny, we were talking to Corbs a few weeks ago when we were in Nashville about the Vanderbilt job, and we actually brought up Duke and said, you know what, there's some similarities between it. And he said, you know what's funny? He goes, everybody talks about Vanderbilt right now. It was all these things. He goes, it was me and the janitor that lined up for this head job 15 years ago. Anybody could have. And I think when Chris got to Duke, the reality was the program was somewhat similar. I mean, they just had not had a lot of success in 4 decades, and that's not the case anymore.
Kyle, let me ask you about a team, too, that we have not discussed yet, because there's so many you can go through here with ACC baseball. A team that traditionally has had terrific success, has gotten to Omaha, has won ACC championships, but it has been a while, and that's Monty Lee and Clemson. And, again, I know it's a huge series coming up with South Carolina, but if you could crystal ball Clemson baseball, what would you say?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. This came up over the course of the week too, when we were at our meetings, because you always feel like the history of Clemson baseball, particularly when I played. I played Clemson in the College World Series in '95. Heck, I was on an unofficial visit to Clemson when Jack Leggett was named the head coach in '93 or whatever it was, '94. And so in Jack's years there, and obviously in Monty's years there, I don't know. I've always paid attention to it maybe a little bit more than some others. They've been close, but it hasn't been – they haven't scared you, if that makes sense. It's not that team you look at and you're like, man, they can really get you. You look at Louisville, they can get you.
Yeah.
Look at Miami this year when they get rolling, Miami can get you. You know, does Clemson have the pieces that they can roll into a weekend and steamroll somebody? I don't know. This weekend will be a test. South Carolina is kind of the team you don't really know either. They went out and got a bunch of junior college guys. It's a ton of new names. You know, Mark Kingston's in a spot right now to where there's rumors as there are in the sport sometimes. And so this weekend's massive for South Carolina too. But I think Clemson has been that in the discussion team maybe for the last 4 or 5 years, but they really haven't been leading the discussion.
Good stuff, Kyle. Thanks for the time. Appreciate you joining us. Is this your debut on ACC Network?
Yeah.
KP?
Gotta be.
I know. What do I get, like, fireworks or a coffee mug?
No,
or
T-shirt. T-shirt.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll send you a coffee mug and another invite.
Yeah, how's that?
That's cool. Hey, I got an ACC Network polo yesterday at the meeting, so I feel like, I mean, that was kind of my intro into this. So
that's
thanks
your family.
For not making me sing the school fight song or anything like that.
Those your family.
Those meetings were here in Charlotte, Pac.
Yep.
Well, somehow we didn't
they
get invited.
They kept us
away from that. Yeah, that's good. It's a good idea.
We were expecting you. You guys, you had nameplates sitting there. They sat at
yeah,
the
right.
Board.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. Have a great spring.
Bye, guys.
You bet. Kyle Peterson, ESPN's lead college
really
baseball analyst. Absolutely. One of the best in the business.
He's really good.
And knows the game inside and out. We got plenty to go.
You know, the only problem, though.
What?
When we try to talk ACC, we can go about 10 deep of teams that have a legitimate chance at least 2 weeks in the season and feel that, you know what? We can make a run.
That's right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Really like Kyle Peterson. I like talking baseball.
Oh, he's outstanding. He is really outstanding. Good. Yeah.
And I'm glad that he got an ACC Network fleece pullover. I mean, he's part of the family now, officially.
Yep.
And you get him in the basement.
Kyle Peterson?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. Next time he's through, we'd have known. Not until late yesterday afternoon when a buddy of mine who was there called and wanted to know. He said, hey, we had the baseball seminar today. I go, oh, okay, good.
That's cool. I like when they come to Charlotte. Yeah. We got a place for anybody who wants to walk through, man. We don't care. More than
come
merrier.
Four after the hour.
Dallin Cuff, who has been in the basement as a co-host, will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. We will touch base with him on a number of subjects, especially as we get into a very serious men's and women's basketball weekend. The ladies' regular season ends on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Still a ton at stake with the 3 and 4 seeds for the ACC tournament. And the men's side, as we've discussed a lot, this Duke-Virginia game tomorrow is a big deal. Florida State, the team everybody's chasing at Clemson, a dangerous game for the Noles, too. The Tigers have been terrific against the really good teams at home. So we'll get into all that stuff. But it's now time for Lowell. Fill in the blank. And with that said, we go back to the Lumberjacks who run this bad boy.
Hey, good to see you guys again. Got the shirt back on.
Yeah, apparently.
We catch you guys off guard there? What happened?
Put the guns back in the holster, huh?
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Anyway, first question for fill in the blank. There have been a lot of good coaching performances this year, but the ACC Coach of the Year on the men's side in basketball is blank.
Leonard Hamilton, period.
Yeah.
Did you guys just come up with this like 10 seconds ago?
No, we came up with it 2 days ago, and we were debating amongst ourselves, what about Brad Brownell? Don't sleep on Coach Brownell.
He's done a good job, but
who wins those games that he's won?
Timeout.
Leonard Hamilton wins.
When we did ACC tip-off, we talked about Shades of Blue.
Yes.
We talked about the defending national champion. We talked about, man, they love their basketball at Louisville.
Right.
Dan Bonner had to remind everybody, hey, boys, don't sleep on Florida State. I mean, Florida State was like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Fifth, sixth, seventh place, whatever. Hey, we're talking about the big boys over here. Florida State's in first place at the end of February. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Leonard Hamilton is the answer to the question.
There you go.
There have been other good coaching jobs. Leonard Hamilton's the man, period. It's not even a debate.
Pack said so, Josh.
Okay.
Move on. Let's get to something more
interesting. Well, you want me arguing just for fun here to create?
No, I was just saying there are other options. That's all. Let's see what you guys say about this one.
Okay.
Of course, spring practices started this week for football. What month do you guys start getting excited for football? That month is blank.
August.
January.
Jeez. Really?
Yeah.
Like you're excited now?
I was excited a month ago. I was excited when we got back from New Orleans, thinking, man alive, how many days till college football season gets started?
I'm going to go with August. I get really locked in August.
Really? That late?
Yeah.
So you're not into what's
going on? I got to have a summer. I got to have some.
You need a break?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah,
I got to have a break. Spring football doesn't get you juiced?
No, I mean, I understand it, and I'm curious about spring football, but excited? August. Absolutely. August 1, in fact.
Wow.
We go July to August. Things happen. The golf game starts to dwindle.
I don't have one, so I don't worry about
that. Yeah, you don't worry about stuff like that. And then the calendar starts to fill up, and you – yeah, August. August 1. I'm excited August 1.
I'm January 15. I really am. I love it. I love it. And I got to tell you, and I base this more on the SiriusXM show than I do this, because we cover everything here, every sport here. But I will tell you, I think college football's popularity has never been better.
I don't disagree with that
one bit. I think that because of it, and who knows what happens with the college football playoff, which is always open for discussion and debate of the expansion and whether or not that happens or not, I think the college football interest has eroded college basketball's interest nationwide. I'm not talking about ACC. I'm talking about nationwide.
I think we have to have an off-season discussion about that.
I think it's a
an excellent topic.
I have felt that doing radio, that as soon as we get done with Clemson, somebody the national championship game, it's almost like, almost like depression. Like, oh my God, we have to wait 8 months until this season, and it doesn't just seamlessly go into college hoops nationwide. It does in pockets. This league always has loved hoops.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm talking about nationwide. I think college football has basically swallowed whole. I mean, the NFL is still the beast. College football is a strong two, in my opinion.
Interesting. I like that. We need to that is something I think at some point we probably need to talk about in the offseason.
The fact that our answers are so totally different is interesting to me. Yeah. Like you would say August, I'd go
mine is just that's the way mentally I work it.
Same here.
Yeah.
And we were totally
Pack's excited and ready to go. I'm August. I'll be interested in July, but excited in August. I don't want you boys in Bristol to worry.
Don't worry. We're not. Back to hoops. The season, the regular season, dwindling down. The most important game the rest of the regular season on the men's side is blank. Here's some options for you.
Well, there's no doubt that the two tomorrow right there are important. I think that Duke, Virginia is the most important of those two by a long shot. Pitt and NC State for the Wolfpack for sure. I'm going to say Louisville, Virginia next Saturday. I think Louisville, Virginia next Saturday is the one that will lock down the top four one way or the other. What say you, Coach Packer?
You know, I'm looking at the list that the Lumberjacks put together there. You know, if you don't have a game that involves two teams in the top four, it can't be on that list. North Carolina Duke, as we know, how emotional that game is for many. That game's not going to have any bearing on the big picture, right? None.
Yeah.
Zero. I hate to say it, but it doesn't. Pittsburgh, NC State, I know you've got it.
It only matters to NC State.
Right.
I mean, it matters to maybe Pittsburgh trying to work their way to Wednesday as opposed to Tuesday, but
I mean, I were going to pick, you know, one of the factors versus a glob, I think both Florida State games on the road at Clemson and at Notre Dame are the most important because they're the team right now in first place. I mean, if you care about that, if you don't care who wins the regular season,
right?
I mean, good for you, but hey, Florida State's never won it. They've got two challenges on the road. To me, that's the first place team. It's not Duke. It's not Virginia. It's not Louisville. It's Florida State. Florida State at Clemson, Florida State at Notre Dame are two monster games because they're the most dangerous games.
I don't disagree with that.
So,
but Florida, the Louisville-Virginia game, if we have to pick one, I'm picking that one.
I mean, like Duke-Virginia tomorrow should be a great game. Does it
have implications? It's an important game, too.
It's a very important game.
Right.
But they're all catching or trying to catch Florida State. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I'll come at you at a different angle on that.
I'm
with
you.
Florida State's two big challenges on the road are the most important games.
Okay. One of those important games that you mentioned, Virginia and Duke, pits the best scoring defense against the best scoring offense. With that said, UVA will hold Duke to blank points this weekend.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with 66. Golly.
I was going to say 65.
Well, we're in the neighborhood.
Drew, what do you think?
I think 65 is a good number, but I would go with 61. I think we're going to see a low-scoring game,
all right.
A very, very low-scoring game.
I have $1,000 that says he knows what the over and under is.
You would be incorrect because that won't come out until tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Not with the people you know. My thing will be text to you, and
I'm going to go 65. Right. I think it's a 60 to 65 game.
What's interesting is Duke is outscoring ACC opponents by more than 10 points to the next team, and Virginia's doing the same thing on defense. So we really have best versus best here.
Yeah. One end of the floor is going to be very intriguing. The other end could be interesting too, but one end for sure.
But, you know, I'm going to give Brian Ives a lot of credit here. Brian Ives' stat he threw on us the other day is very telling. I mean, when you won 100 games and lose 18 versus this league, but then there's this one outlier over here, Krzyzewski and company, where you're 1-6, that's a problem. That's one of those, that's not just a coincidence. No.
By the way, the stats guru, Richard Simmons, has provided that Virginia, with the exception of one game in ACC play, has had the lead at the last media timeout. The exception is at Tallahassee.
It's crazy.
They have had the lead in every one of those games.
And again, Tony Bennett, 3-11 all time against Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Okay. Guy's a brilliant coach, incredible program, but you know, there's sometimes you just don't match up well with teams.
There you go.
All right, guys, last one, a little bit of a curveball for you here. As we all know, the ACC Indoor Track and Field Championships are underway out there in South Bend. Your favorite ACC track and field event is blank.
Oh, indoor or outdoor?
Take your pick.
Hammer throw.
Like tossing around the hammer, Wes?
Sure.
I mean, come on. Who doesn't love a good pole vault?
What about us? I mean,
have you ever tried that?
Have you ever looked at us and not scream pole vault or hammer throw?
Have you ever tried picking up the pole for a pole vault?
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm going to tell you.
And let alone running with it.
I'm just going to tell you. When you pick the thing up and you realize what the greatest in the world do with it,
yeah,
you sit there and you go, it's impossible. It is absolutely impossible.
You guys ever picked up the pole vault, Drew, Josh?
No,
that's not my forte.
It doesn't matter. I'm not asking you to run. Packer's right.
Just pick up the pole and go.
Where do you find one? Where would I pick one up?
Oh, okay. The backyard.
We'll see you next week then.
Play fetch with that with Chester?
No. But I'm just telling you.
You guys ever picked up the hammer for the hammer throw?
Well, too heavy.
It's kind of like, it's like heaving this thing.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. But the pole vault.
With a strap and you.
The whole pole vault thing, every time I see people do it,
yeah.
I watch it because it's amazing. It's like, how in the world do you do it?
Yeah.
I don't even understand the concept of how you can get off the ground with it.
Good question, Macri.
I like that.
Yeah. When we come back.
I have a better chance of swimming across the Atlantic Ocean than going over a pole vault.
Huh. There's a visual. There's a visual.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And we got huge games in men's and women's lacrosse. We got soccer stuff happening. We're going to talk to Dallin about all kinds of stuff here. Huge baseball weekend. Phenomenal weekend in hoops. Track and field going on. Championships in South Bend.
Yep.
It's a great sports weekend.
Relegation in the Premier League.
That too. We got the Lumberjacks practicing pole vaulting. We've got them hooked now.
I think Dallin, by the way, is not happy with the Lumberjacks either.
Doesn't appear that way. Let's get to our man up there. Mr. Cuff, how are you?
Good, fellas. How are you doing? I'm not unhappy with them. I just don't understand. If you've never picked up a pole, head out to Bristol Central. It's like 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
Get in the middle of the field and just check it out.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Pole vault's no joke.
I've picked it up. I've run with it. It's awkward to say the least, but I've never tried to stick the thing in the ground and go up in the air. I'm afraid of heights, A, and B, I would guarantee I'd probably break something.
All right.
You know what we need to do before we get into real serious? And what Dallin just said just hit a nerve.
What's that?
You know, we've certainly chronicled my fear of dentists, doctors, and in the ocean.
Sure. Right?
Now, Dallin comes up and says he's afraid of heights. We need to get a collective ACC network. What are you afraid of? Anxieties. I bet the list is spectacular.
I think Cornette is he definitely has a fear of sweating. I think that's why it starts. It just he can't stop it. So I think there's an issue there. I think I will diagnose that for him on his behalf. Yeah, mine's a little bit of heights. I'm cool with roller coasters, like anything mechanical. But if I have to like look over the edge of something, I'm uneasy. That's all right. Not cool.
All right, hold
We're
on a second.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this.
Wait a second. We're going on the spring break trip, and this could be a problem when we get up there for the spring break
I'm
trip.
I'm just telling you, we need to have a collection of everybody that works at ACC Network, your fear of or anxiety of. I'm telling you, people would read the list and laugh like crazy.
No. All right.
Start the chain.
First of all, you're calling out your new neighbor. I can't believe you're doing that. That's number one. Okay.
I do it to his face, though. I did it on the Nothing But Net the other day. He's got my man's got a little bit of an issue. He owns it.
All right.
I saw.
All right. Second of all, when we come up here on the spring break, apparently now we're going to video people holding onto the pole vault. So anyway, let's move on.
Real quick, though, with Cornette, we mentioned Cornette, our new neighbors, as you mentioned. I do want to tell the folks there, we carpooled up to Bristol on Sunday. My man had the Google Maps in his hand, and I'm not paying attention. We're talking. Great conversation. But he's got the thing in his hand, so I trust he's right. I'm like, I think you were supposed to get off and take Route 8. He's like, oh, I missed it. It's cool, though. It's 2 minutes longer. We go this way. I'm like, yeah, no big deal. You're supposed to take 691, not 91. I'm not paying attention. I'm not navigating. I was told I'm good. He just blows right by the exit again. We take him an hour and 35 minutes to get to Bristol. It takes 48. He doubled the time. We literally made a big circle almost and got to Bristol. Quite an adventure.
All right. So Magellan and Jordan Cornette, and you're not riding with either guy.
And here's the funny thing. They're probably the two most intelligent people on the network riding shotgun there, right? Yeah. I mean, we got a guy from Notre Dame, an Ivy League guy. They have no
Columbia
idea where
they're cat
going.
And a Notre Dame cat, and they're riding around like, you know, whatever.
That's it.
All right, let's go to –
I'll take some of the blame. He's not going to like the fact I've taken two shots at him in like 5 minutes. I love the guy.
Yeah,
sorry,
well,
it's
early. There's the other portion of this program. Okay. You have got Miami at Georgia Tech. We'll get to that in a moment. Duke, Virginia. Give me something here because the numbers line up for the Blue Devils, yet Virginia finds ways to win. What, of the 5-game winning streak, 3 of them are 3 or less. I mean, it's just remarkable what they're doing, and Kihei Clark's just the latest episode.
Yeah, Kihei's been great as of late, and Thomas Walden Tensai has been huge for them. His ability to make shots, although he didn't in the last game, the previous 5 games, he was shooting almost 50% from three, getting 15 a game. Just his threat of a guy that can make shots consistently has changed their offense. Diakite's been excellent, but Kihei has been the motor. He's been the guy. You saw it late game in that last game. Just give him the ball, he'll go make plays. The three is one thing. That's huge, obviously, to get the game winner. But he had the play before that. He drove, kicked it to Casey Morcell, who hit a three. That doesn't happen often, but he drives, kicks it out. In play before that, he runs in, has a lefty, that's his weak hand, kind of runner away from the basket. He's making huge plays right now, and that's important because they're going to need him to do stuff late game and late clock because I think this is going to be a tight game playing UVA playing at home. They are playing much better. The most thing they've showed me since their offense has improved was in that loss to Louisville, actually. Mm. That was their best opponent they played in the win a streak of games they've been on here, win 7 of 8, I believe. And they were on the road and made offensive plays to keep coming back at Louisville. So I think they really have grown, and that game actually showed me a lot in that only loss. All that said, Duke, I think the biggest thing for them is how's Vernon Carey going to handle the double? Because when you know you're playing UVA, the double is coming when it comes in the post. So can he beat it himself? That's a little bit risky. Also, can he play out of it and get that thing reversed? This team is shooting better than they have in recent years. They got some guys that can knock down. Can they get it reversed to get open shots or just driving lanes? We'll see how they play out of double, how they handle their defense. Again, I think this is going to be a really tight game. I kind of like the home underdog here in UVA right now, to be very honest.
Well, I said earlier, I think it's like exercising the demon of Virginia that that Louisville went through earlier in the year. I think Virginia's kind of got to exercise this one a little bit, Pac.
Well, Dallin, here's where I want to go with you a little bit with Duke. You know, for the last couple of weeks, you know, when they played at Boston College, they didn't get off to a great start. They really weren't dialed in, but they found a way to win. You know, they go to NC State, you got waxed. You went to North Carolina, quite frankly, beyond fortunate to win that game. Wake Forest, you let a 9-point lead get away with a buck 20. They've not been dominant on the road. I know it's hard to win on the road, and Duke gets everybody's best shot. And they've won 3 straight at Virginia. three straight at Virginia. I'm kind of interested to see, again, you know what Virginia's going to do to Duke. Does Duke give you another one of those where, hey, we're just going to make every three like we've done before in Charlottesville? Or is this going to be one of those 55-52 fist fights with 3 minutes to go?
I think it'll be more like one of those. I think it will be. I think it'll be like a 60-58 game. That game last year where they made, 11, 12 threes. I mean, and that team couldn't shoot. That was literally if that team's making threes, you could not handle them and could not defend them, and they couldn't. Duke will have to make threes in this game. You've got to be able to knock down shots against UVA. You have to play out of the double team, and you got to deal with their physicality. Now, I'm not one to usually subscribe to they've been beating them in X number of years. The X number of years, if it's like with the North Carolina, Carolina State thing, if it's that long, it doesn't matter. It's the recent history that matters. It's the guys that are actually on the court, if they haven't been able to exercise those demons, to your point. And UVA, a lot of these guys are still kind of new to the program and new to their roles in terms of actually playing Duke. Obviously, Duke, some of their key pieces are really freshmen. Trey Jones is just still new to this thing as a sophomore. So I don't think there's a huge, psychological advantage in this game. I think it's, can you go on the road and perform? And for Duke right now, they have not performed particularly well on the road as of late, as you outlined, Pat. I think that how these guys, especially the freshmen, the first time they deal with the physicality, the double teams I mentioned, the consistent nature of having to go against that defense over and over again, and the mental and physical fatigue it can take, how they manage that will be really critical. And you add in being on the road, that's why I think this is a really tough spot for a Duke team that has not performed well on the road this year. And again, they're one of the 25 youngest teams in the country. This isn't to be unexpected. And Coach K said the other day, they're in game 28-29. You hope they were more mature. Yeah, you would. That game against Wake, when you're up 9 with a minute and a half to go, or 3 with 15 seconds to go, you have to win that game. You have to learn from that. But this is a different experience for them that they don't have anything to draw on going into UVA playing against that type of style. So I think it's going to be a very difficult game for the Blue Devils.
All right, quick word on Clemson, Florida State. Pack and I have talked about Clemson's beaten Duke. They've beaten Louisville. Your thoughts on the Noles going to Little John Coliseum tomorrow?
It'll be a tough game. Clemson, Amir Sims is a key to their team at all points in time. And will Florida State allow you to run offense is the issue, as always. But if he can step away and get his touches, they do run a lot of Princeton-type sets where they'll have different back cuts going, flare screens, kind of different exchange actions and front cuts. You saw it against Duke. Duke likes to pressure and take you out of what you do. They back cut them, front cut them. They torch them at Little John. I don't think the same thing happens to Florida State, a little more veteran group, a little more, have more length and athleticism across the board to impact you offensively or defensively. I think that Amir Sims is the key. If he can get the ball and they can run offense for him, they can stay in this game if they have to shoot it well. I know that sounds stupid. People are always like, yeah, you got to make shots. Some teams can't manufacture offense in other ways. They don't get to the free throw line. They don't have great drivers. They get open shots. They have to make the open shots like they did last weekend at BC where they shot like 70%. It was insane.
Yeah,
they may not be that good, but they've got to knock down shots consistently. And for Florida State, I think if Florida State plays their game, they play to their level, I think they win this game, but in a tight one. I mean, Clemson obviously has those huge wins at home already. But Florida State's playing for a championship. They have some veteran guys. And I'm not sure Clemson's going to be able to guard them off the bounce. And their depth is going to wear on them in a game that I think will be tight, but I think goes to the Noles.
By the way, you and Mike Monaco tomorrow night in Atlanta, 8 o'clock on ACC Network. Really, they just ought to let Chris Lex and Jose Alvarado play one-on-one, don't you think, Pac? I kind of think that's
right. You may get that anyhow.
Yeah, you may get that anyway, so look forward to the air guitar. By the way, maybe this could be our gift to you, Dallin.
Cool.
We've noticed, new homeowner that you are in the Northeast, and we remember when you were relocating from Miami to Connecticut. Looks like the walls are a little bare there at the Cuff Manor. Do you need some basement things? We got a warehouse now here at the basement. Pac, would you be willing to part with something here?
If Robert, if he can hand me.
Tell you what, Robert.
Robert's going to get right through the middle of the camera here.
Watch out. Robert's going to dance through the camera here. Go to the upper deck shot here real quick,
Chrissy. Just do the pole vault right over the camera one there.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert. You're good. No. Robert, you're fine. You're fine. We've gone to the upper deck.
Give me that sign right there on top of right there.
That's it. That sign.
This would be perfect.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Here you go. Yeah, we'll just send you this for the wall. Dallin Cuff's appearances on ACC Network brought to you by Meteos in Raleigh, the Italian restaurant. Banner. How about that? You want to be sponsored by Meteos? Would that be okay?
I would love to be sponsored by Meteos. I would personally. Now, I think if I brought that in and hung it up, my wife would quickly take it down and burn it. pretty quickly.
No, this is only but, for I mean, your appearances.
No, only for your appearances on Packer
Durham. Oh, all right. Yeah. So it's my backdrop.
Yeah, it'd be perfect behind the from we could tell from the door to the wall.
Door to the wall, and media's be right there. It'd be really
perfect,
good.
Man.
If I could spin you guys around, there's not a. This is the guest room. There's not a thing on these walls.
I know. That's sure why we're we're all about helping, bro. I mean, and by the way,
if you want to help. Yeah. If you want to help, just write a check, fellas. No, just write a check and just set it up here.
Hey, by the way, Portuguese word of the day.
Ooh.
As a realm, underdog. Beware of the home underdog, Cavs.
Give me that one again.
As a realm.
As a realm. A-Z-A-R-A-O. A little accent over the A. As a realm.
How do you say?
Underdog, Cavs.
How do you say blank walls?
Pereggi. Blank. Hey, I don't know. Got to think about that. Let's
think
about a blank
one. All right. Safe travels.
We'll work, man.
Safe travels
to
Atlanta. Dowling Cuff with Mike Monaco tomorrow night on ACC Network. Canes and Jackets. That was awesome.
How's a roll? I like that. That one we can incorporate.
I like the Amedios banner.
That was the first thing that popped in my head looking at that. And I'm looking over there at my SiriusXM desk. And I said, well, there's the Amedios. Then we can incorporate that right now.
Our buddy Dave Parker really liked that.
Hey, we're here to help.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ready for the Bojangles weekend menu, kids?
Ready for Bojangles.
Hey, that's right. Get ready, because here it comes. Here's the big machine and the bow. Weekend menu actually starts this afternoon on ACC Network. Richmond, is it Duke?
Yeah, Richmond's 20th in the country, Duke's 13th.
Then Hobart and the Cuse.
That's a French school, right? Hobart, the T is silent?
I don't think so. Hobart and the Cuse tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. So you don't get the Friday night duels, you get the Friday night lax. Pack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So settle up for that. All right. Saturday basketball, Pitt at NC State. Malcolm Huckabee.
Game, right?
Malcolm Huckabee will.
We are putting the curse to
join
the test
me on the show.
We're putting this thing to rest. If NC State wins the game, I do not want an NC State fan bothering West Durham again.
Dallin Cuff.
He's the reason they don't win games.
And Mike Monaco will be at McCamish Pavilion for Miami, Georgia Tech. We have a women's doubleheader on ACC Network at noon, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Pam Ward, Kelly Gramlich. 2 o'clock, Notre Dame, Florida State with Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson. And then 6 o'clock, the men's side, Dave O'Brien, Jordan Cornette, and the coveted invite, Katie George, for Virginia Tech and Louisville. By the way, Duke, Carolina is Chelsea Wilson and Sam Ravitch. That's on ESPN2 at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Also, a shout-out for women's lacrosse. The ladies had a spectacular weekend last week. This week, conference play starts, which includes number one North Carolina at number six UVA women's lacrosse. We also have Duke, ranked 17th in the country, taking on number two Notre Dame. So a big women's lacrosse weekend. I want to give a shout-out to the ladies. Much like the men, a bunch of great teams in this league.
By the way, the ACC has 35 automatic bids to the 2020 NCAA Wrestling Championship. 35. We've been telling you all year how good this league is.
We jumped on the bandwagon, didn't we?
Yep. And also, transactional note, here's one you don't cross every day. Tanner Tessman.
Soccer.
Was going to kick for Dabo Swinney.
Yep, soccer.
And signed with FC Dallas. Of MLS over kicking for Clemson. And Dabo says, Tanner is a good enough athlete. He's one of the best athletes, could play D1 basketball, probably play receiver. He could probably play safety, 6'2", can fly. He's a good athlete as I've ever seen.
Now, he made that comment a couple months ago, right?
But
the point of it is.
December, but he had Isaiah Simmons, too.
When he starts talking about as good as any athlete he's ever seen, he's had a few.
Yeah.
By the way, I got some buddies down there, as you well know.
Occasionally, yeah, you run into
and their spring practice has opened up like many others around the league.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've been told,
Yes, sir.
That some of these early enrollees
yeah.
that he has are freaks. Well, like,
get in line, like, Pac.
Well, I mean, I know they've recruited well, but apparently this class that's coming up is like different level crazy freaks. Mm. Just giving you a little heads up.
Here's what it looks like going to the weekend right there, kids. There it is, Chrissy. Right there. There's the chart. All its color glory right there. We'll see what it looks like on Monday.
It'll be colorful, just like that one is.
It'll be colorful. Yeah. Uh-oh. What a great week, by the way. Yeah, here they come, Holland's Heroes. Andrew, Josh, Chrissy, Biana. Who else this week? Everybody was – Lewis.
How about Lensman Dave? Lensman Dave.
We had all of them. Back Hank, row, Hank. John. Everybody.
Ezzy. Ezzy played Ezzy. A little ACDC for me earlier.
Spencer. Unbelievable.
Otto, back in the Christmas decoration
Robert,
room.
Robert, always the shoulder to the wheel. LJ.
If you're looking for empty Stella cans, that would be Otto.
Yeah.
Chester Fuller. Somewhere's Clifford. Somewhere.
Clifford. He's on the property line.
Vicky's at the beach.
Robin the Duke fan joined us. Great guest.
Dr. James.
Golly.
My man, the dentist.
If we don't have to send you to the dentist anytime soon, it'll be the best thing our show's ever had happen.
That might be true.
There's
that
the drill.
That doesn't even faze me anymore because Ezzy's cranking up.
Have AC/DC. A safe weekend. Good luck to your team. We'll see you Monday morning, 7 a.m. on Packer Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.